Oh, okay. Oh, we're live.
Yeah.
Welcome, everybody. Sorry, we're talking about video games. Hope everyone's doing well for the Monday night therapy session. We seem to be having a lot of these lately. But if we can help just put people at ease and have a bit of a laugh, even if it's at our own expense for an hour, then that's a job done in my book. So we'll see how we go tonight. Hope everybody is doing well. Tiggs, welcome back, mate. Good to have you.
Yeah, thank you, mate. Thank you for re-inviting me back on this wonderful
Reinviting
professionally run show.
you. You make it sound like I don't invite you. You're not
No, lucky,
allowed on.
mate.
You have to get
No, we all
doctor's
know you're the
clearance.
real reason I've got concussions.
Yeah.
No,
You're part
all good.
past
No, I'm...
concussion protocol and we've got you on, so
Yeah, no, I wanted to come on, particularly to, I'm not going to, let's just do the show and then I'll probably answer what I was just about to say. CB, how are you, sir?
I'm so relaxed. I'm on the beach with me and Steiny. We're on Echo Beach, emotionally checked out. No, we're going okay. And for the record, Tiggs, with the last 4 weeks of football I've witnessed from Richmond, I wish I had a concussion as well, mate, and I
Yes.
wouldn't have remembered anything.
Yes. No, look, funny, unfortunately, I've got a Richmond concussion, so I remember everything. I just can't sleep. And I pick my guts up. They're the only two things. But what do you do?
Hey,
Yeah, no,
welcome
everyone's
to
good.
EJ as well in chat. He was a bit crook at the moment, so he'd be feeling better. He says he's lost weight. He's pretty happy with himself there, actually, CB. He'll take that. Tiggs, before we go any further, someone did ask in chat just how are you feeling from a recovery perspective from the concussion?
Yeah, look, it's yeah, all right. I won't take too much time on it, but for people that have had it or might be going through it that are probably in chat or going to listen to this later, I'm week 14 into this. Now the impact was about as vicious a knee to a head, I would think. Nothing really more than that. And I've caught plenty of those, as you can imagine. And recovered easily with those. But this one, no, it's I've got this ringing in my ear that doesn't go away, a pressure headache that doesn't leave. But the main thing for me personally is the lack of sleep. I can't sleep. And when I try to sleep, I wake up every 2 hours. It's a nightmare. But but other than that, the nausea is starting to get, I can now live with it. Though it's still there, I can live with it now. The headaches I can live with. But obviously, yeah, it's got to, I'm waiting for an EMG, but with the nature of our healthcare, even private, it's going to take me 5 months just to see a neurologist to actually prescribe the scan.
Yeah, right.
So I'm sort of just in a little circle there, just wait. Hopefully it clears up itself, but if not, I've got to wait for the neurologist.
Oh, hopefully you get some tick some boxes with the next appointment and everything is onwards and upwards, and you get some sleep,
Yeah,
more
thanks, mate.
importantly. Jesus.
Yeah,
Now,
and thank
why
you
is
for
my
anyone that's asked.
absolutely. Now, this my the hairline joke, this is coming up all over the shop. This is coming up here, this is coming up on stream. It looks like people have found their niche to get stuck into me about. I'm not sure if I'm happy about this, but we might have to go down the CB and EJ path at some point and just nudnut
That's why I wear the hat. That's why I wear the hat, you
it
see, so I
up.
don't blind people with my baldness.
Well, there's no coincidence that our form has matched to a hairline, Michaels, if I dare say.
Shit
Since that wig drop, wig joke, I don't think we've won a game.
Now, I do want to say off the top that obviously tonight Joel Bowden was meant to be on. I think I put out on the socials, I might have missed one or two. Apologies if I did. That he had to reschedule because of work commitments. Being in a government type role, plenty of things pop up, but he is scheduled to come on next week. So, Monday the 8th, I think it is. So, yeah, Joel Bowden should be on next week. And there might be another sneaky surprise coming up as well, but that's just a yet to be confirmed. So, once I know more on that, I will alert people on the social platforms. But we
For the
will.
record, if anyone knows this man, the one guest I really, 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 really want to get on the show, I want to get Rex Hunt on here. I think he'd be a tremendous guest. So if anyone knows him, please reach out. I want Rexy, big Rexy on the show.
My wish
It's
list, if I had one that I could wish for and no one would get it, but I love this bloke and he's a character and he bled the Tigers, his poor bullis. I'd love to just
yeah.
have a yarn with him. I'd love to have a yarn with him.
It's almost like a callback radio show, like a 6 degrees of separation. Who can find us, Rex Hunt? So we'll
Yes.
see how we go. Get scoops. I'm definitely not Sarge. It has crossed my mind, but no, I don't think I could do it. I couldn't do it.
Oh, Jack Zoot with the old, top shelf old school joke.
I didn't know. I thought it was going to wouldn't have taken long. Well, there we go. Nick said bullish can be done.
Get him on. Get all over it.
All right, we will get stuck into it. I know it wasn't the greatest game to speak about on the weekend, but what was the score? I didn't want to remember it. Gold Coast 11-6-72 defeated Richmond 6-12, if you don't mind, 48 by 24 points at our favourite stadium, Marvel CB. I'll go through our goal kickers quickly. Samson Ryan bobbed up with two. Pretty neat little goal on the run there too, out of the pack. I think he's shown a little bit in recent weeks. Tim Taranto won, but he's no good. Ivan Soldo won. Jack Rewalt won. And Shea Bolton with one that I thought might have sparked us, but unfortunately it didn't lead to much at the end of it though, CB. I'll start with you first, mate. What was your thoughts on the game?
Listless, lifeless, uninspired performance, which, to be honest, I still right now, 48 hours later, I cannot understand how we have served that garbage up. And I'm serious. Like, I know we've been sort of hanging a hat the last couple of weeks and, injuries, blah, blah, blah. There is no way in hell that team should have served that performance up. And it was alarming on something. I mean, it was alarming on something. Like not one of the really, apart from Samson Ryan, the amount of young blokes that had an opportunity that did not stand up. And we're talking Jack Ross. And I'm not... I don't like potting my blokes, but I'm just saying they had opportunity. Jack Ross had a great opportunity to actually do something here to get a spot in the team. My God, it was just bad, terrible. I don't know what else to say. Our kicking for goal, is there any chance when Bolton is running into a goal, rather than deviate 3 meters off so he can have a snap from 30 out? How about you just kick a freaking drop punt and do the obvious thing from 40? It's mind-blowing the aversion that Richmond players have kicking drop punts for goal, and it shows because our conversion is absolutely dog shit. Sorry for the language, but it's just a disgrace, and it should be better. I'll shut up.
I do want to give Gold Coast a little bit of credit. I don't know if this was evident at the game, but it definitely was on TV that they were guarding the middle of the ground extremely well with bulk numbers, and it wasn't allowing us to play how we wanted to play. I don't know if that rattled them at all, Tiggs, because what sort of came after that, the skill level was horrible. I'm okay if people turn it over under pressure. I'm totally fine with that. But there was a lot of easy missed kicks and handballs under little to no pressure, and that's the part that concerns me. They just seem totally void of confidence. Our goal kicking with no wind, no rain, was horrible. But what did you make of the game?
Yeah, look, two things really stuck out to me. I don't know about you blokes, but the first one is we didn't play like a team, we played like individuals. You had individual, they all looked, there was no connection among the side at all. It came back in little spurts, but there was no real, it was just like a team of individuals playing, which was, it's a really concerning sign. The other thing for me is that, yeah, and CB's right, with the take the 13 injured players out, the quality of the players that we had on the park matched up to their opposition should have won that game, right? Should have. There's no excuse not to. I can't fault their work rate. I won't sit there and say, Rich, that team did not try, but that team had no endeavour, had no commitment. And the reason it stems from it, they look like individuals, all of them, which is really chronically, to me, sad, because that's a complete opposite to what we were in 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, where it was all about team and playing a role. We look the reverse of that. And the last thing I'll add, it really highlighted to me why Grimes, and this is not, I love on Grimes, I defend him to the death. He's not a captain, a solo captain. And it's concerning me that that this two-captain model that we've got is not working. Hasn't worked for us in the past. When we've trialled it, it's, no. It's, yeah, we've got problems.
Agree.
I don't know if I said this on the show with you, if I said it somewhere else, but the longer the season's gone on, and from last year as well, the more I'm convinced that we have got the two wrong people at the helm. Unfortunately, I don't know whether that's a lack of other options or I don't know. I just don't feel like either of them have got it in him to turn the tide. Like, you remember, if we were down in the dumps or shit was going against us, Koch would, you know, he could turn the game, swing momentum back our way. But these two just aren't really doing it. It's not to, you know, take pot shots at players, but you do need good leaders first and foremost, especially when the team's like just flat out of no confidence whatsoever. It's frustrating. And I also want to say as well, because I have seen a lot of these comments on social media, people saying, oh, you should be grateful and you shouldn't be getting stuck into them, this, that, and the other. I want to clarify, I don't think anyone is ungrateful for what the club's given us in the last 5-6 years. Everyone is super, super appreciative. But that doesn't mean we're allowed to have high expectations of the performance that they deliver on a week-to-week basis. You're allowed to have an expectation level where you see the team give up a reasonable fight in your home state against Gold Coast, who is a team we should beat. And what was more frustrating was this game essentially was to save our season. Really, if we wanted to contend and play finals, this is where it had to start, because we're not going to beat Geelong. We knew that a long way out, because they're, you know, at the moment they're a lot better than us. But we had to win this one, West Coast, and I can't remember who the other one was, but we had to win 4 of the next 5. And we just didn't give a whimper. And that was the most frustrating part.
Right. So might skip into another agenda, and I just want to clarify this before we start. This isn't a sack dimmer rage fest, right? What the question I've put in our agenda tonight is on Damien Hardwick. Has he coached well this season? So it's not a shot at Damien himself. It's a question of, do we think the side has been coached well? And I'll raise, just to kick off proceedings, I'll raise a couple of things. So, for example, against Melbourne, where we're up against two All-Australian ruckmen and a pretty handy forward line, we sub off Miller and move, in an undersized defence, Bolter into the ruck, exposing our defence. And then if you look at last weekend against Gold Coast at Etihad, when Levi Casbolt pulled out and they went into the game with Witts, who I think, for the record, was best on ground, which was amazing, we select Soldo, Miller, and also Samson Ryan, making us very, very slow around the ground. I just question some of the decision-making that I am seeing. What do you boys think? Do you think he's coached well this year, or what's the opinions?
See, for me, I reckon, okay, to answer your questions directly, I think the team mirrors Hardwick's personality or feeling, mojo, whatever you want to call it. Just looking at him, how he speaks, he looks to me like he feels he knows something's wrong. In his press conferences, hear what he says. It's exactly what's wrong with the club, right? So after Melbourne, he clearly highlighted exactly what was broken. Again, but there's an impatience when I hear him speak. Do I think he's coaching poorly? No, I think that the scenario highlighted, for example, he has to try things. We're lucky that we've got a coach that's brave enough to try things with different types of players, because what it also does, if it does come off or if it doesn't come off, you find something. You find something about that player that you've tried that position will move to. You might lose the game, but you will win the battle, because then you'll know for next time you're not to use that play. So that, for me, I take that CB as a positive, not a negative. But there is an issue, I think, maybe he's delegated too much. I think we've got too many stronger messages coming across to the playing group. You mentioned something before in your negatives, which we'll go back to because we've jumped the agenda here. Sometimes the poor disposal, Michael, you brought it up, how they look poor, the kicking in wrong areas, their disposals is bad. If anyone's coached underage kids, would know if you overcoach, generally that's what you get, right? There's too much in their heads. You've got to keep it simple but direct. And that's what we're doing. That's how it appears to me, that we've got whoever's running our ball movement, midfield, transmission, our defenders, our forwards, it's all at sea. And that is on Hardwick, admittedly. But that's where I think where I would say, to answer your question, as a negative on Hardwick, I think he's delegated too much. And that's my worry.
And on this, right, so it's been really good things. So over the last 5 years, like Clarkson experienced when he had his success, he got drained of a lot of coaches. We've seen that go out of our coaches' box. We've lost a lot of IP and intelligence. But also on the field, do you feel that we're underselling the loss of your Edwards, Lambert, those type of players? Those guys are retired. Can that be undersold?
Look, you can't undersell them because it's obvious. We've lost, you know, then you layer on that with Ashbury Pryor, you know, as well. We've lost champions to our side, but, you know, you've got to coach for the now. You've got to keep an eye on the future. We've got to coach for the now. And, you know, you had to keep on playing at Edwards and the guys that we lost while we were winning, right? And it's, and it, we all knew it. Even when we were winning and winning flags, we were saying our kids, unfortunately, he said it himself, aren't getting games in AFL when they should have. So we're paying for that now. We've got kids that are good quality kids. And this is, I'm going to go back on our agenda, back to the original part. I'm really getting sick and tired of people really cracking into sub-15 gamers. Like, Sonsi had a shocker, absolute shocker. He's played 9 games. Out of those 9 games, I reckon 6 of those, he's made your head go, oh, that's a sign, right? And look, I've been guilty with Ryan, but now Ryan's had more than 9 games. He's showing what he can do. So with the kids, if you park the kids away, we've got Banks, Brown, some of our midfield kids, which, let's be honest, a lot of us don't watch VFL. All we do is look at the seniors and go, oh, we've got nothing coming through. We've got a good quality core coming through, but we're a year behind, year and a half behind every other club, because we're the only club that's won 3 flags in 4 years with the same 22, basically 25 players being played every week in and out. So, it's fixable though. I'm not like others, we're screwed now. I'm gonna let's trade out Bloston and Daniel Rioli. Anyway,
I had a theory. My issue is, and a few people that I talk to have the same issue, it doesn't seem like we've evolved or changed, or we're not willing to change what we're doing because it's not working. And my theory on that is, and I might be wrong, but from what we kind of can understand is that Dimmer and the coaching group are very much data-based in how they do things. And I still think the data suggests that that game style does hold up when you look at Collingwood and St Kilda and Melbourne, etc. But there's just something that's not allowing that to happen, whether the players have, I don't know, lost interest and not playing for Dimmer, I don't know, or it's because you've got a whole heap of inexperienced players trying to run the same pattern, same program, and it's just not working. Because as we know, with our game plan, we knew during those 3 flags, we probably weren't the most talented list in the AFL for any of those 3 years. But we had everyone who could play their role very, very well. And knew exactly what they were doing. And we don't have that at the moment. It's a bit of a revolving door because of injuries and so on. But it just doesn't look like there's a plan B. I know Bolter went forward and there was a couple of slight tweaks. And CB, I think you're bang on about the selection piece as well. I think we were 1-2 tall. I would have liked Jaddy Clark to have played a bit from the start. We just look so lost going forward. And I do want to say, I think for what it's worth, I think our backline's done a super job. All things considered, it's not their fault. They're getting let down massively by, I suppose, a lack of midfield pressure and the forwards maybe not converting their chances when it gets down the other end. So I do feel bad for the defenders, and they should hold their head high where possible. But it's the half forward area, which has been a bit of a cause for concern.
The problem is VFL side smashed, right? These people don't get it. We've got no AFL listed players in the VFL. What, we had 4 last week, or the week before last, what, 6? And like Bauer, I don't know how to pronounce the last name.
Bauer.
Yeah, Bauer. We want to get him in, but we also have to have at least some representation of AFL listed players in that VFL side. So we're in a really, people don't get it. Like, we've never been a club that has been hugely endowed with depth. And what I mean is, from depth is, you know, the last 10 on your list of 40, whatever it is, 30 now, it's because the reason is we've, like you said, role players and all that sort of stuff. We've improved that out of sight, but we've been, and people say, oh, you Tiggs, you're talking about injuries. I'm giving no excuses to our performance. We're still on the path. This is how our depth has improved. Our quality of the list that we're playing should win more games than one game, right? But our major concern for me is whoever is our forward line coach, whoever's in charge of connection from the midfield to the forward line, needs to change whatever they're trying to do. Because I don't know how to pronounce your name. It's A-A-A-A-A-A-B asked before. Have we tried to evolve the game too quickly? And that's what I think what we're seeing. I don't think it's that we're afraid of evolution. I think we've tried to jump the gun. We're doing something creative or something different, and it's blown up because we haven't had the cattle to carry it off. And what highlighted that to me, I tweeted it during the game. Do you notice when our forwards, our midfield half forwards, when they get the ball, they wait that extra, they will do either an extra handball or hold on to the ball longer and then have to do a rush kick into our forward 50, something like that. They're no longer kicking to position in the forward line. Like, you know, we always kick to the pocket or deep into the center square. They're holding it, trying to hit someone. That's a coaching directive. And I think that's killing us at the moment because six behinds to we had six scoring shots to two against Gold Coast. Melbourne, we were leaving goals on the park. Every loss we've had, we've dominated the teams we've played in the sense of, you know, actual scoring, but kicking behinds or kicking out the fall or turning the ball over stupidly. So that's why I'm still bullish about us, that it's fixable. I don't think we're a bottom four side, but we're playing like one.
So question, boys. So given we've had a bit of a chat about Dimmer, so it's a pretty much yes or no. I mean, who feels the season's over, or is final still on the cards? What do you think, lads?
Final still on the cards for me.
No, we're not playing anywhere near good enough. If we can't beat Gold Coast here, like, we essentially have to win almost every game from here on out to make it. Yeah, and with the players we've got still out long term, like pan up to the coaching box. You've got Lynch up there, Graham, Nank, even Tarrant would be handy at various stages as well. I mean, I know it's only, what, round 8 this week, and it is technically still early, but you've only won one game. It's too far to come back. And the other problem is who's going to drop out? Like, all the other teams are in so good a form, but so much would have to go right. And if we were to make it, we would be knackered by the time we got there, and we'd probably get bundled out pretty quickly. What do you think, CB?
Kills me to say it, given how boring I was this offseason with what we'd recruited. I just think we're too far behind the pack now. I just don't see, historically and statistically, it just tells us that we can't make it now. So based on that, if you go back up the agenda, Michaels, maybe yep. We should have a bit of a chat about some players. And look, because the question is, finals is out of the question now, what do we do moving forward for the rest of the year? So there's some players there, Michaels. I'll let you start going through them.
We're only two and a half games, just so you know, boys, it's 23-round season and we're 2.5 games out of the 8.
Yeah.
Actually, we're 2.5 games away from 6th spot.
Yeah.
Right, and historically...
I can't see us beating Geelong or Essendon, mate.
No, not saying that, but just to counter... I'm doing the counter argument. Historically, right, we've all remembered we've done runs 1-9 straight to get into the finals. We're a team historically that gets on streaks of wins. Right? We historically do that. So I just wanted, for the record, the 1st of May, that I was the one that said, yes, I still think we'll make finals. Because if we get on that run, which I believe we will. Just want to note it. Twitter audience, please note it. Now I'll go into the mindset is that we're not making finals and continue on your negative Nancy's, but we'll see.
And to Grok's point, that's the problem. We're not anywhere near it. Like, I don't know if we have that ability anymore to flick a switch and start playing that well again, because we are just so far off the mark. It's not funny for whatever reason. I do appreciate the optimism, and I would rather be wrong in this instance 110% every day of the week.
Wang's brother's gone eco, he's out. I love it. Look, Tiggs, I hope at round 23, you can bring up me and you can fairly stick it up me, Ted Whitten style, if I am incorrect. You can do a funny picture of me in the background, whatever. You can really.
That's not me, mate. I'll do it at round 16 when we've won the last five games. And go Look, all I'm saying is you've got Adelaide in the eight. You've got Port was not – Port's not making finals. Look at the first four games. No way. You've got Geelong who, now they're 4-3. No, there's only probably two sides in that eight that look unbeatable, right? At the moment, I just try to – people call me optimistic, and I am. I always love my club, but I'm not an idiot. So what I look is, look at our last seven games. The toughness, it was rated the second hardest, right, compared to those teams that are in the eight. We will get a softer run. Now, admittedly, we just lost the Gold Coast. That's a big oopsie, right? But if we can get Lynch back, Nank back, we've got Graham coming back. We've just had Broad and Soldo play their first game back from a long spell out. It can turn, and form, CB, you would know, son, form is the one thing. Once it turns, it can turn quickly.
Look, so the only thing I know, mate, is form is temporary, but unlike me, class is permanent, mate. That's just a fact, right?
That's it. All right.
I suppose the concerning part, though, was that that game, I know I said it before, but that was the game that we had to win to kickstart it, and we fluffed it anyway. All right. So there's a couple of players we'll speak about, and we can probably play from both sides of the fence. Let's, you know, take it from the angle if we think the season's done or if we think it's still alive, what should we do? Cochin, obviously, I think the club wants to get him to 300. I think he can still have an impact on occasions, but when we're playing so many talls, I kind of feel like it just adds to our slowness in some, and I hate saying that because I love Trent and what he's done for us, but I just feel like with the amount of height we're playing with and the older legs, we're losing quite a bit of leg speed. Maybe is he best served as sub for some games, or does he need it? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is with Koch at the moment.
I will spew if he gets to 300, then retires. If he's committed for this year, he's committed for this year. However, it's now put us in a bit of a pickle. Look, I don't blame Riewoldt, Cochin, and Grimes going on for that one extra flag. I don't begrudge them at all. Right. Fair play to them. However, we're now in a very awkward predicament where we have to look at next year and what we can do this year to propel us for next year. So, I don't know. Once he gets to 300, I don't know whether he becomes a sub or I don't know how it works, but I think you have to weigh up what would you rather see? Would you rather see Sonzi and Dow get games into him now? Or Sonzi and Ross and work out, are they going to be there for next year? What's the call there? Where do you go?
Yeah, look, Cochin for me, and I said a bit in the off-season, even though I thought, you know, with Hopper and Taranto and just the organic improvement of the club, I reckon, yeah, we're going to hit top four. And we obviously, that hasn't gone to plan. But with Cochin for me, I even said way back then, I cannot see him as a forward. He has to be a sub. Cochin at his best is when he has a full tank because he's not endowed with speed anymore, but he has grunt. And he knows when he has to do that action to inspire those around him. That you can't, you lose that. Look at what Edwards is now gone, what it's done to the side. You know, that the ability to lay that tackle or get on his knees and grab that inside ball. Playing him as much as we are, it's showing him to be, he's not a forward. He has no offensive weapon. Hasn't had it at all since he hardly ever kicks a goal. He can't create a stoppage because he hasn't got the leg to go down. He hasn't played forward in all of his career. So we're asking him in really one pre-season to learn the craft of a small that doesn't have it. So if I was Hardwick, I'd be going, you know what, Koch? You're the sub for the rest of the year, and when you come in, it's in the guts. If we need to use you for 5 minute spurts in the guts to give us that drive, that's what you're going to be used for.
I think that's where his skill set shines. Yeah, and I think that's where he's best suited, like that in and under ball, feed it out to the runners, because he will hunt like a man possessed, and I think we need that at times. But it's when it gets to the outside that it becomes a concern. But yeah, if he's going to play, it's got to be in the guts.
And I don't see why we're not utilising him as a coach on the bench. You know, goes in for his 5 or 7 minutes impacts the contest, comes out and rah-rahs the young kids that are there. This is what you do, Ross. This is what you did wrong in that contest. This is what you need to do. You know, that sort of stuff. Lambert did it all the time when he was on the bench. You know, and when he wasn't, when he had those around, that's what we're missing.
Next place, CB, Dylan Grimes. Obviously, co-captain. He's done some okay things. Hasn't set the world on fire, though. How are you seeing his year and where he's at with his footy?
All the players we're going to talk about, I love them like my own children. I love them. However,
tread carefully. Tread carefully.
Yeah. I'm just saying, from what I hear, Grimes wants to go on another year. I hope we make a very courageous call and say thank you for your service. Here's your gold watch and gold pen at the end of the season. That's how I feel about it. Oh, Tiggs has walked off on me.
I had to go punch my pet, mate. Oh, can I ask you a question, CB? Forget his captain. Is he winning his one-on-ones? And is there a defender outside of Grimes, even in fifth, sixth, seventh defender of Grimes' quality that you can replace him with?
Yes.
Who?
He was our number one draft pick last year, who's out with a hamstring.
Yeah, who's that?
His name is Gipkus.
So you're saying Gipkus is going to play the Grimes role?
There's the mic. Gipkus.
No. Okay. I'll explain you my point, right? I think our back line's been our strength all year. With the amount of inside 50s, other than against high quality opposition, we had a percentage of what, 116 prior to 2 weeks ago, right? Now the dam is starting to break open. Now, a lot of that comes down to the organisation of our back six and seven, right? And keep in mind, we didn't have Short for an extended period of time until his second game was on the weekend. So for me, Grimes, if he wants to play another year, yeah, no problem, Grimes, play another year. He is one of those forwards. Gipkus, can he play on a small and a tall? No, not at this stage.
Yes, he can.
No, I don't know. Well, you've got a lot. I've seen Gipkus, and I love Gipkus, and I think he's got to be a 10-year defender for us. But we've obviously looked at Tyler, Ryan, and gone, okay, you're going to be our Asprey clone, just your one-on-one stopper, what Tarrant's role was. That's your job now, and he's doing that really well. When people knock him, yeah, his disposal and that is because he's a young backman. They always turn over the ball. But his one-on-one contest work is 10th in the league. He's our big, but he's four big monsters, and he showed a bit of versatility on King when he was on him. You got Bolter, our athletic centre-half back, right? But you need that third tall, not a medium size like Broad.
You'll have that with Young, who's showing quite a lot this year.
Young for me, he'll be on your main key forward. Like Young will play.
That's right. So Giff just takes the third, which is Grimes.
Yeah, and then the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. Yeah, no, there's a place for Grimes.
Rioli, Austin, Short.
No. No, you need to watch me. All right, you know what? Put a pin on this. Grimes. For the structure of that back seven and back six, for the structure of it, Grimes is still critical to that, right?
And he looks slow and he's not impacting the game and the contest like he used to. But that's my opinion. We're in an opinions game.
No, of course. And I would say my counter to that is there's so much ball coming in, he cannot become offensive. Because he's got two young kids in the back line with him. And he didn't have Broad for 4 weeks. So he's got Rioli in his second season, not even a full season yet in the back half. He didn't have Short. He's got Bolter, who's a pup. He's got the other young kid, Ryan, he's a pup. Tyler, sorry. I was confused, he's Ryan. Yeah, it's Ryan. He's a pup. He's a pup. What do you expect one of the smarter, more disciplined backman to do? Vlosten's had a mare. He's looked terrible at times. There's no coincidence. He's looked terrible. Grimes has looked terrible because they're trying to cover too much of the gap in knowledge that we have in that back six. If we didn't have Grimes, we'd be screwed. So that's my counter. I think he's sacrificing his game to try to minimise as much damage as he can and protect the others around him. That's my piece on it. Boom. So Grimes, definitely another year for me. Boom. Thank you very much.
All right, what about Jack Riewoldt? I mean, I think someone mentioned before that you reckon that this would be his last year. Mm-hmm. I feel a little bit bad for Jack because I don't think he's playing bad. I think he's very much a victim of a dysfunctional system at the moment. And obviously being the main man again is kind of not what he thought he'd be doing at this stage of his career.
Well,
can still be a clutch goal though.
He should be decoy forward. He's a champion. He wants to go. One great thing about the forward line, even if you lose your toe, if you've got that footy IQ and you can read where the ball's going to go before your backman can and before anyone else can, you're in the side. And he still is creating space for himself.
He's still kicking goals.
And he's still kicking goals. So the problem we have with Jack is I think he's finished this year. I think because he wants to finish this year. I think if I was Hardwick, okay, mate, can you give us one more? Right? Because if he was the third forward in our side, he would be kicking, multiple goals of 2, 3, so on and so forth as the pressure comes off. At the moment, they're giving him his best defender. He's back like he was in 17 and 18 and 19. It's unfair on Jack. The only thing is why we scream out, we need Cumberland to stay engaged in the game. People that knocked Hardwick 2 weeks ago saw exactly what he was talking about against Gold Coast, a young defence who worked their asses off. Let's give credit to them. They knew their forward line on paper, our forward line should have smashed theirs. Because if you take Lynch out of it, that was one of our strongest forward lines without Lynch. And they got pantsy because Bolton had to play up the ground way high. Martin was way high up the ground. That's why I think our forward coaching's a mess. When you've got Marlon Pickett taking marks alone in the forward line, you've got Jack right up the ground, and we're all at sea.
I think we've gone away from our square pegs for square pole ethos, square pegs for square holes ethos that Neil Barn brought into the club when he first got there. So we've definitely moved away from that. But unfortunately, I'm going 3 for 3. I'm saying, Jack, retire while you're on top and you've got some fuel left in the tank. And unfortunately, I would say see you later, Jack, at the end of the year as well.
When does the new Tassie team come in? I've always thought that he will play for the Tassie team if he's still thereabouts when they enter the competition.
I think they come in 3 years. Yeah, that's 3 years.
Seasons. Okay, that might be a bridge too far. But
I could see him coming as a long coach or as a coach, an assistant coach or something.
Yeah, I think Jack's doing as well as he can. He's still kicking goals and doing what he can. I just think he's not currently playing the role that we actually want or need him to play, so which is a little bit shit.
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yep.
I'm interested in you putting the audience, right? We had a game plan, right, that Collingwood's playing, that Adelaide's is copying in a lot of portions of it. Geelong has copied, right, in good chunks of the difference, where our method was kick to pull the space if you can't hit a target, and then you race to the contest, and you always basically lay a defence. So one defender would run in. He loses a two-on-one. A next one would zone in, and then we'll cause the turnover, and then we'll go helter-skelter at the ball. The ball was the main thing we wanted, right? And then we would do two things we don't do anymore. If we were in our back half, we would either play wide and then transition the ball to the other side of the field and then go forward, or we would go wide into the corridor and straight at the guts. We were very direct. But when we needed to change and widen the ground, we did it all the time to throw, make us hard to play against. You didn't know which way we were going. For me, our whole game plan's changed and it's gone away from that. So why can't we, and this is my mind, why can't the coaches now go, all right, boys, plan A was our Richmond plan. Collingwood's basically playing it. If you watch a Collingwood game, it's exactly that. That's what it is. But they're doing it with full commitment and drive and effort. Why can't we go back to that? Should we hold the line?
There's one big difference between us and Collingwood and Adelaide at the moment. Our forward line has Dustin Martin, 32. It has Jack Riewoldt, 34. Trent Cotchin going in there occasionally at 30+. We don't have the speed to lock it in anymore. You go back those years you're talking about, mate. You had Butler, Rioli, Castagna,
Higgins,
Towner. Nah, Higgins was never a premiership player, but Townsend, Jack. We had a lot of pace around that pill, and our midfield was a bit younger, right? They're at their prime. Now we've sort of gone to that age past, and we can't actually run and complete the game plan. That's what I think one of the issues is. We're actually not quick enough to implement the game plan that we used to be able to play. I just don't think the guys can do it anymore, some of them. So until we get youth, and that's why Adelaide and Collingwood and those teams look fantastic, they've got youth around the pill, and they're just quicker. They set up quicker, they transition quicker, they move quicker. It's just my take.
Well, that's a good call. The lack of pace. We saw it in the preseason versus Melbourne, that the ball was just walking out of the back line effortlessly. And that's where Morris Jr. is a big loss. Yep. But, yeah, I think it's almost like it's just the team balance thing at the moment. I know we all want to play these guys because they're all stars and we love them, but I don't think it's giving us the best balance that we need up forward. And that's why I think I floated a few weeks ago that I wouldn't mind seeing Juddy Clark and Morris Rioli up forward, or Bolton rotating through there, whatever. However it works, I think you need at least two genuine speedsters in there to apply pressure and actually cause some chaos when the ball hits the deck. Because unfortunately, Martin's never had to chase, because it's always just been he's done what he does and we cover for him and it worked for us. But playing as a forward, that doesn't work. And Lynch, Riewoldt and Koch are running as quick as they can, but it's just unfortunately not closing down enough space quick enough.
Yeah.
My opinion on that is a little bit different. If you look at Collingwood's side last year, before they got Bobby Hill in, they're not, if you go physical speed, go have a look at their list.
Look at their team right now. They would nut us.
I'm not talking, will we beat Collingwood? It's completely different. Because at the moment, our confidence shot, our form's crap. We don't have everyone playing. But if you just compare their midfield, Tyler Adams isn't fast. Pendles isn't fast. They've got plotters in there, but the difference is, and this is what my point is, we were never a fast. This is the illusion we created because of our game plan allowed it. We're never a foot speed fast side. We were never like, oh, helter skelter. Yes, no, it was our ball movement. Can I, CB? My point, yeah. What I'm trying to convey. What makes a side fast is how their decision-making and how quick they move the ball, right? And how quick you then regain possession of the ball. That's what we're missing. I believe we've got the cattle to do it. I've got Bolton's young, but keep him in the forward line if you worry about Bolton. We've got young kids in our side. We've got Clark. We've got a couple of young kids which we're developing, unfortunately, that are injured at the moment. We've got pace in that side, in our side. And when we're winning, I'll put it this way. We wouldn't have been so, in every game we've played outside of last week, we've been within a kick against really fast sides, but a turnover cost us. Like against Sydney, which did pretty quick. We were right in that game before we killed ourselves. Melbourne, right in the game before we killed ourselves. Right? And people, you mentioned Melbourne. We haven't played Collingwood. When we played them, we matched up really well with them. So I don't think we're as slow as you make out. But my issue is, I disagree. But my belief is that we've gone to a different style of game plan. And that's what's killing us, because the cattle that we've got is not designed for it. I could bring up the list and compare it, but a mate of mine who's in the AFL, we're not rated slow by any measure, right? And if you can, Melbourne's a quick side, would you say? They move the ball fast?
Yeah. If you look at the age of their forward line.
Forget age. Geelong would be laughing at you at the moment, right? Yeah, seriously, age is not a factor. It's ball movement I'm talking about. That's what speed is. Speed is ball movement, right? Speed's not how fast you run. Speed is...
I get it. But when you're kicking space and creating carnage and chaos balls, mate, you need speed for it.
Yeah, but no, you don't. It's because my opinion is this, right? we have never been a skilled side, a highly elite skilled, transition the ball with laser pinball passing. We've never been that side, right? Never been. And that's what I think is a lot of our malice that we've seen, particularly against Gold Coast, has probably highlighted it. We're trying to hit people on the tip. We're trying to hit targets, hit people on the chest, and it's not working. So our players are either holding back way too far because they're believing the kick's going to hit the target, and then they go. I think we need to go back to what worked for us was actually kicking the ball into space and then running onto the contest. Because you're always quicker, you appear quicker when you're running towards the ball, right? When you're running towards a contest. And we've got the cattle to do that. It's just that, I think we're being exposed at the moment solely for the fact of is that the game plan, that's what I think our problem is. Our game plan with these players is broken. And that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we need it fixed ASAP because I'm not liking it. I'm sure we can keep debating that until we're all blue in the face, which tea sometimes
different is. Different opinions are healthy. Opinions
100%. Are healthy. Yeah, we've got time to come in line here, mate. You want Tiger discussion. This is bloody Tiger discussion rate.
It's real information. It's good to have different opinions. I'm all for it. But we will take a look at the West Coast game coming up now.
Just going to say one more. You missed one.
Oh, yep. I did. Oh, yeah. Sorry, Tarrant.
Would you even bother playing Tarrant now? He's out for a long-term injury. Would you even bother putting him in the team now when he comes up, or just say, forget it, stick with Young and Bolter and blood the kids?
I don't know why we recruited him, and I'm on record as saying that, right, at the beginning. That's no disrespect to Tarrant, right? It was no disrespect to Tarrant. But I was gobsmacked while we got him. And I know we got him for a pack of chips. And, you know, he can also coach the guys and all that sort of stuff. But I see no value of playing him.
If he needs to come in, he comes in. But, I mean, I would rather obviously Gibkus playing, but he's out injured. So it is what it is, I suppose.
Just one thing.
We're not eating our own. I think we're allowed to have high expectations of the team. And it's just trying to identify what are we doing wrong and how do we fix it.
Let's not forget the importance. Just
keeping it real.
Let's not forget the importance of the mid-season draft.
Yeah.
Right? Don't forget the importance of the mid-season
draft. Oh, my God.
He's upset with you, CB.
Just while I'm here in Echo Beach in Hawaii, I'm safe. Yeah.
No, it's mid-season draft support. And look, can I give a trade update?
Yeah, very quickly, yep.
Real quick. My mate's got me. Mate, if I didn't have a head injury, I'd be tackling 7 foot tall whites. I reckon what we saw of our new forward in 2 years' time was fantastic on the weekend.
I was gonna text you, was that a cheeky audition?
Mate, what we saw, my Lynch blow, it's three ways it's only going to happen. Mark it, you hit this first. Remember, I was the one that said, is it gettable, right? There was no noise with him. And now the Collingwood stuff is, because it always Collingwood leads off first. Because now these journos have realised, actually.
G'day, Steve-o, by the way. Thanks for watching.
Right? I know they do. But I know with my mail that it's the Tigers have been in it for a while now, for a long while. So if he doesn't go to St Kilda this off season, he does not go to St Kilda and he does not resign with GWS next year, we are, I would say, 85% chance to be at the Tigers. And I'm happy to put that on the 1st of May. Book this as a historic day. We've got Michaels and CB hating on the club and I'm the only one saying no. We most likely will make finals and calling out CB. King.
I'm like the Grim Reaper, mate, for blokes over 35 on our list at the moment. I tell you,
Himmelberg is made up junk, right? Let me just put this clear, made up, they've made it up. They've dead set made it up, and it's not happening. Yeah, so was Lynch. Put this quote up, JWB. Just go back if you can, if you're bothered.
One down, one more.
Yeah, with Yeah, this is the one. Just hear Lynch's press conferences during his last year at Gold Coast and see if he sounded happy at the club. Well, Betty, you're going to big footy forums, pull out the Lynch thread, go right back and see all the hate I was copping. All the hate I was copping after he does radio and TV, how he loves the players and he loves what they're building and all that sort of stuff. No.
End of the day, the players at other clubs for all trades aren't going to say they're not happy and they want to go. It just doesn't happen that way, unfortunately. But oh, well, let's watch this space with a keen interest. All right, we've got the Eagles this week. They're coming off an absolute shellacking from the Blues, 108 points they lost by. Are they second last? And we're third last? Or well, I don't know where they're positioned, but it now turned into an absolute must-win game. What's happened? What have I missed?
Nah, I'm just thinking of their position on the ladder. We're third last. We're in the relegation zone.
Yeah. It's it's not great, is it? But this now turns into, it almost turns into a match to show some pride, if you know what I mean, because losing that game to the Gold Coast Suns, and not taking credit, like, not trying to discredit the Suns, they played well, but we should not have lost that. And now we need to get some retribution and need to get our shit together and show that we're actually serious and get a win on the board. But the confidence is the issue, fellas. How do we see the game against West Coast playing out? 18th versus 16th, is it? They're dead last. There we go.
Yeah, if we don't win this game, then play the game as it's... Yeah, no, I don't want it. No, we'll win this game. They've got too many... Look, West Coast has hardly any... This is not a slot on West Coast. If people want to see how important your players are, and when they're out, and when it gets to a certain tipping point, and then you go way past that tipping point, how bad you can look, look at West Coast.
Yeah, as Yellow and Black said, they've got 26 players to pick from.
Yeah, nah, it's and the players, they've got injured players playing too. Shit. I would not want to be on Twitter or Big Footy if we lost that game. It would, and they're playing at MCG, is it right?
Yeah, yes, it is the G.
If that's not a percentage booster, if we don't go, can I just say, and then I'm going to shut up, Steve, and let you boys talk.
No.
Jim, I know you watch the show. I know you're a fan. Hopefully your son records this. This is a message from a, what is it now? I've been a member 43 years, 44. Attack, attack, attack. Give the God, let them play. Forget all this game plan nonsense that you're doing other than the non-negotiables. Let them run. Run and gun. You do that. We get a percentage booster, refill some confidence, and we just allows us to attack Geelong. Just attack them. That's the mindset we should have.
Damien Hardwick, if you're listening, a second point. Bring Tyrone Vickery back for one more game if Nick Natanui comes in, because we know what Tyrone can do to a West Coast ruckman in a wet.
Oh, 25. Who else is missing now, David? That, like, I honestly feel a little bit bad for him. I know we've got our own issues, but that's nasty. It's
if we don't win this by 50, 60 points, we're taking a piss, even with our injuries.
For me, the big thing, and this is going to sound very captain obvious, so apologies in advance, but we've got to convert our chances early because we are notorious at keeping teams in the game. Like, even the Gold Coast game, if we had a kick straight early on, they would have been a bit more on the back foot, and then maybe the whole shape of the game changes. If it's meant to be pissing rain, that doesn't really help the cause a little bit. But CB, we just need to get our accuracy on. And I have read today on a few different socials that apparently even during the captain's run at training, that the players are doing goal kicking and missing horrifically and just laughing about it. I know it's a captain's run, and I don't know how much you read into it, but like, just kick some goals, lads. Actually, let's get some score on the board and put some scoreboard pressure on a team.
I don't smoke, right? I don't smoke. I'm a pretty clean living kind of guy. Fair dinkum, if we lose this, I'm having a blueberry cinnamon vape with Tiggs on next week's show. That's
you know what? No. I would throw this out. Mate, we'll go to Shantytown, you and me, CB. Buy a pack of their fucking iconic brand of Winnie Blues. Winnie Red, sorry.
We'll get some chop chop from the Dandenong market, mate. Yeah.
Mate, get a couple of snags and we'll go to the Geelong Football Club, buy two stars and sit there and have a barbecue, mate. That's what we'll do if we lose this game.
Oh my god! I just look. In all seriousness, like I was trying. You know, the funny thing was, I was actually trying to work out the ins and outs for this game, and Mansell kicked 5 on the weekend, and for some reason, I was still hesitant to even put remotely mentioning him in my in. So the ins I've sort of got down is Hugo, Prestia, and Dow. The outs I've got is Miller, Ross, and maybe sort of Sonzi stays in and Koch goes sub, or you switch it. I don't know.
I would be.
But it was. It's a bit of a tough one, but I think we need to. You know, Presti's a no-brainer. Hugo provides good run. We've got to now, because I think the season's done. I think we've got to bring these young blokes in, and we've just got to roll with it now. We've just got to roll with it.
Look, I'm conscious when you bring too many kids in, and we've got a fair few amount of kids. It's funny that we're talking about our age. We've got a lot of youth in that side, right? We've had it for most of the year because we've had most of our senior core out. But in saying that, what I would be doing, I'd be look, people, I want to clarify my Ross. I never pot a player, and I went hard at him on Twitter and got a bit of feedback. My thing is, the only thing for me with Ross, he's at 50-game mark, right? He's at 50 games, right? So that's 2 full seasons worth of – now, he's better than VFL, but I don't think his decision-making is quick enough. And there was a couple of contests where he just walked, and I checked how many kilometres did he run, and he was at the bottom rung. Of the whole players playing that game. So it wasn't because he was exhausted, right? So I would bench Ross. I would make this as an educational moment for him. Say for the next 8 weeks, you work with Hopper. That's all you're with. Because I reckon that's the type of player he needs to become. See Hopper. Analyse his games. Do the footy review with Hopper while you're out of the side. And we want to see you just... Because I was really hopeful for him last year. Because I did see signs... And he's regressed at a state of knots. Sonzi, for me, plays, regardless if we're making a charge or we're not, he plays the next 15 games if his body allows him to. Ditto Morris Rioli Jr., right? Ditto if he's out. But I would, Clark stays in for me. Ross goes out for Prestia. And then I'll just leave the rest of the 22 as it is and say to the Morris boys, you've embarrassed us now. You got a soft kill here. That should be a soft kill. Go for it. See what happens.
Yeah, Prestia in. If it's going to be raining, I think we do have to drop another tall. So whether that's Miller, Soldo, well, probably not Soldo. We need a number one ruckman, don't we? So probably ends up being Miller by default, I guess. But, yeah, it's going to be an interesting set of selections.
Miller has to pay the price. And I'm a Miller. I love Miller. But he has to play the price. He was non-competitive. But so is Cumberland was non-competitive. But you can't – if I – Cumbo, because he's got that potential, he was – some of his actions were. But give Cumbo a chance to redeem himself. But Miller, I'd say, Miller, you're out. And you know what I would – you know what I'll have for second ruck? I would pick a forward. You know what? Jack, go in there for a 5-minute period. Just have a bit of fun. Just – muck around in there. I'd even put a midfielder in there. Just recognise, let's play to our strengths. That's what I don't think we're doing. You know, we've got a good Ryan and Soldo is our 1-2 ruck till Nant comes back. Let's cement them there. But if we want to alternate one of those four, or they can't do all the time on ground minutes, throw a midfielder in there. Throw something else in there. Just change the dynamic a little bit. Oh, and to that one person in the... Have we had value from Taranto and Hopper? My opinion, boys, get yours too. So, for my opinion, more than value. If it wasn't for those two boys, God knows.
Be ugly.
Yeah,
just I'm with you. Look at our contested numbers. Look at our their job is to get the ball and give us first use. I think they did it on the first crack. Even though we're losing games, we're still 6th or 7th in that stat. Right? And keep in mind, we've played 6 of the better sides this year. And I think we're 4th, 5th in the AFL for first use. And that's solely from the inside mids.
Mm.
So something we've never had before. We've always been 13th. That's a big difference they get, but they can't do everything for us.
No, that's right.
agree.
All right, well, let's get a tip, including margin, for this one. CB, what are you thinking? And put your comments through in the chat as well. We'll pop them up quickly.
Mate, fair dinkum. I know it's going to be hosing down rain, but we've still got to win by 6 goals plus here. Yeah, we have to.
Tiggs?
Yeah. For me, yeah, 6 goals, it really should be like 10, 11, but six goals. They will stay with us for a quarter or two and we should break them.
I'd just take 4 points at this stage. No, yeah, we should seriously, if we're genuine, it has to be at least 30 to 40 points, even in pissing down conditions. But like I said, we've got to hit the scoreboard early and actually convert our chances. The longer we keep them in it by missing, the more of a sniff that they'll get, and it could bite us in the ass, as it does for most teams, I suppose. But yeah, we'll see how we go. Anyway, good therapy session, lads. Well done on the differing opinions. I like it. I think it's good discussion points. There's nothing wrong with that.
There's one thing you can agree on. How good has Ryan's progression been?
Yeah, terrific.
Everyone's saying our development shit house. This guy has exploded in his potential. Considering he's drafted, he's been
very good.
Yeah, hats off to him.
All right, thank you for tonight, Tiggs. Good to see you back on. Hopefully you get a good report from the doctors in the coming days and you can...
Fingers crossed. Like I said, the neurologist tomorrow, so wish me luck. Good luck, mate. Fingers crossed.
And we've got Joel Bowden next week as well. So if you've got any questions, send them through. We'll try and work in as many as we can, which would be good. CB, good to have you back, mate. And good display picture with EJ on the beach. I love that. That was very, very good.
That was a late inspiration that I sent to EJ because I don't have the thing to do it. So EJ... rip that up for me about an hour before the show. So thank you.
Oh, EJ, EJ on the graphics work. Well done. Yeah. And just quickly, as a bit of a side plug, if you are a gamer and you are keen on the new AFL 23 game, head over to the Pink Panthers Twitch stream in about 2 minutes and I'll be showing you some gameplay from one of the latest versions of the game very shortly. So comes out on Thursday. CB, I know you're frothing.
I will seriously destroy anyone who comes up against me in AFL 23, and I'll be getting a copy on Thursday. Just watch out, mate. If you come up against me, anyone, it's going to be very ugly.
We'll have to stream a game online. We can get all the Tiger Cast fans tuning in.
It's console only, though, isn't it? It's a little...
No, it's control. You need control. If you're on PC.
I can't use controllers. I haven't got the titty gene. I'm a mouse and keyboard dude.
My 50-year-old reflexes will dominate.
All right. Have a good night, lads. Thanks so much for everyone for tuning in. Appreciate the love and support. Hope you all got something out of that tonight and had a bit of a laugh. And hopefully the Tigers get up against the Eagles on the weekend and we can be a bit happier on Monday.
And last point, we're all Tigers. Yeah, we all get heated on social media. We love our club so bad that after a game you have your passion. Just remember that when you're responding to someone that you've read a comment that you don't like. I've seen, not directed at me, I think I actually got off, but I saw a couple of guys there that are on Twitter that were copying it. They came out hard and they copped it really hard in return. Look, we're better than that. We love the club. You know, you don't burn your house down once if your wife / partner cooked a bad steak, you know what I mean, like 8 weeks in a row. So just
unless they burnt the steak. Cooking,
yeah, but look, yeah, just keep in mind we're in a spot at the moment, yeah. Just keep your heads up and do what I do. Just watch the 17 grand final.
And just in case we do lose, Harvey Norman could have a big special on microwaves coming up, and I'm going to be sourcing some big chicken poo so I can dump it outside Punt Road like 96 at the Gecko.
Thank you for that, Mario from Doncaster.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Have a good night. Much love. Go the Tigers. Let's hopefully get away with a win and we can be a bit happier on Monday.
Go Tigers.
And Joel Bowden Monday. Get around it. Have a good one.